I'm Isabel Terrell.
And I'm Sam Cavanaugh.
This is Nowhere You Stand,
the local history podcast that wants to tell you the stories of the city streets beneath your feet.
Before we dive in, Sam and I want to acknowledge that the city of Toronto was built on the traditional territory of many nations, including the Mississaugas of the Credit, the Anishinaabeg, the Chippewa, the Haudenosaunee, and the Wendat peoples.
This week, we're investigating the densest and most diverse neighborhood in the city, home to the city's newest residents and the world's tallest building.
We're talking about St. Jamestown.
Before the war, St. Jamestown was a quiet suburban neighborhood comprised of Victorian homes.
Ah yes, home to Anglo-Canadian upper middle class and considered by many to be a desirable place in the city to live.
Fast forward to the swinging 1960s, and suddenly the city needed somewhere to house the swiftly approaching adulthood baby boomers.
Designed to mimic trendy French architect Le Corbusier towers in the park concept, tall residential towers set back from the street with ample park space and room between the towers, a far cry from the density of today.
The developments were originally envisioned as bachelor pads for so-called swinging singles. One notable print ad featured the slogan, "More than living," and featured a list of the amenities, as well as the singles potentially living in those suites.
Ah yes, the singles. Unfortunately for the project, its completion coincided with the rapid de-urbanization and suburban white flight that were reshaping the city in the 70s and 80s.
The white middle-class tenants originally envisioned for the project left the city, and in their place, economically poorer but more diverse tenants moved in.
In fact, taking the elevator up any given tower, one is likely to hear languages from all over the world, from Tagalog to Tamil and Mandarin to Hindi.
The city then built four more towers, this time exclusively as public housing, which contributed to the increasing density of the neighborhood.
Cuts to public housing and poor upkeep wound up leaving the neighborhood with a sketchy, if somewhat undeserved, reputation.
A plan to revitalize the neighborhood launched back in 01 with a public library and a massive mural, the tallest in the world according to Guinness World Records, soon followed.
The revitalization plan has its critics, however, as does the new luxury condo going up in the intersection at Bloor and Parliament.
With some worrying that it'll drive up prices and lead to gentrification. All right, we're here at Pocket Talk with Zeba Khan, not only a fellow Centennial Journalism student, but also a resident of St. Jamestown. Hi, Zeba. How are you today?
I'm great, Sam. Hi, Isabel.
Hi, Zeba.
Hello. How are you both?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
So we'd just like to start off a bit. Like, how long have you been living in St. Jamestown for?
I've been living in St. Jamestown for a year now.
For 1 year. All right.
And so from what I've read of your work online, I understand you have lived in St. Jamestown throughout quite a few catastrophes. Can you tell us a bit about those?
Yes. So the first catastrophe, I guess, happened at 260 Wellesley Street East. I live in 280, so I literally saw the building shut down, from my balcony that night. And there were people, the residents of 260 Wellesley Street East had no access to water, power, heat for a week. And then the same thing happened to residents of my building, and my building was shut down for a week, actually. So personally, it affected me in a very negative way because I literally had to walk all those stairs down from the 33rd floor.
Wow.
How many stairs was that?
I wish I counted. And I had to climb up the same stairs again that night. So, like, it was hard. And, there was no water. There was no heat. There was no power. So.
And this was in the winter, right?
Yes, it was in the winter. So,
wow.
It was so cold. And I literally had to book an Airbnb for two nights downtown, just to have my basic needs, like water and heat.
Wow.
So
did they find out who was responsible for the fire? Was anybody?
We heard, which I also wrote about because I wrote an article on the whole situation at 260 Wellesley Street East. We found out that there was actually one of the pipes burst open in the garage because of the freezing cold.
Mm-hmm.
And then it affected the plumbing and then the electricity cords. So this is what we know so far. However, the response from first aid and the fire department was amazing, and they, you know, they tried their very best to make sure the residents are as comfortable as possible in that, you know, mm-hmm. cold weather. And Kristen Wong Tam was there too, and she organized, and the city organized, you know, food and water for the residents.
She's actually from that, from St. Jamestown.
Yes, she
grew
is.
Up there, yeah.
Yeah, she is.
Cool. And so what was the communication like in terms of, you know, the building management with the landlords to the tenants at the time? Like, can you walk us through what happened maybe the first day that the power went out in your building?
The first day the power went out in my building, there were many people, including me, just knocking at the management's office. They basically told us that you have to be patient, we cannot do anything about it. And they told us that we gave you a notice that there won't be any power, heat, and electricity, you know, for 24 hours. However, it had been more than, you know, the business hours. So they gave us a notice for 9 to 4. So the communication was minimal, unfortunately. And but the communication between the management and the city and the fire department was amazing, because there were people at our building at all times that were ensuring that, you know, there's security on every floor. There's you know, food and water available for all the residents downstairs on the main floor. So anything helps in that situation.
All right, and what has been the sort of the response within the neighborhood to this? Are people upset with building management, do you find? Or do you think more could have been done to prevent this issue?
I mean, from what I hear from friends who live in the building, and, you know, I had friends who actually lived in 650 Parliament,
right,
which, as you know, also got shut down last year. So the response has been, you know, like, people are not happy. So a lot of people are upset because even last week, we did not have elevator service in our building. So again, I had to climb down all those stairs from the 33rd floor all the way down. So a lot of people are saying that, you know, there needs to be clear communication with management, and they need to communicate with, you know, the residents as to what their goal is with these buildings. Because if you go outside on the corner of Wellesley and Parliament, there's a notice for construction. So they want to rebuild the area. Mm-hmm. So there needs to be proper and clear communication. But the response from people in the neighborhood is, you know, they basically, most people are upset because it's your shelter that you're mm-hmm. living in, and that's what it affects. Yeah.
And how does St. Jamestown compare to other neighborhoods in Toronto that you've lived in?
I honestly love St. Jamestown because I love Parliament Street, and there's so many cool little, you know, shops there, and so many little stores that you can discover. There's a nice bakery there, and there are unique, you know, stores that you can visit, and it's all run by local residents. So it's very unique, and it's a very old part of Toronto, right?
Yeah.
The neighborhood is very safe. Cabbage Town is, St. Jamestown is in Cabbage Town, right?
Yeah.
I believe so.
So that's interesting, because we've always known, at least growing up, my parents always talked about St. Jamestown as, like, the sketchy part of the city, and that it's not very safe.
But, it has quite the rep, but, you know, it has a lot of character, and I think that there's this misconception in Toronto about character somehow equals, like, non-gentrified equals sketchy.
Yeah. Like, the most of the people that you see walking around in St. Jamestown are immigrants with families and the LGBTQ community. Mm-hmm. So I can assume that maybe the sketchiness comes from there, because just of, you know, sometimes people, they don't understand, and then the fear comes from that. But mm-hmm. like, I've never experienced any safety issue there. Yes, the buildings are very old and very populated. It's one of the most populated areas of Toronto, St. Jamestown.
It is. It's the densest neighborhood in the city.
Yes.
Yeah, it's insane.
Like, but I've never heard or I've never experienced anyone, you know, there hasn't ever been any shootings in my experience in 1 year or a violence. So for me, I've always had, you know, a great experience. And I'm actually moving out very soon on May 1st, but that's because of you know, the constant elevator, you know, shutting down, not because of safety. If the building was okay, I would always stay here. I love St. James Town.
Yeah.
Great.
What interests me about the neighborhood is, you know, when it was built, it was kind of, you know, in the 1950s, and there was this kind of utopian vision of, like, public housing, and everybody would live together in these skyscrapers. Like, they were built off of the French architect Le Corbusier's sort of design, and he referred to these buildings as machines for living, and, like, they would have all of these amenities. And it just seems like St. James Town was, you know, it was built, and it was in an interesting idea for, like, kind of living that way, but it was done publicly, whereas now you see high-density development is back. Like, look around Toronto, there's massive skyscrapers going up. Mm-hmm. But instead of being envisioned as these livable, you know, like middle-class to working-class kind of residences, they're going up as, like, luxury units for wealthy people. And I just think it's interesting to still have something like St. James Town, because, you know, here you can have, like, you know, an immigrant family new to the city, and, you know, they've got basically a condo with a $1,000 view. Right? You said you live on the 33rd floor. I imagine that's, you have quite the view.
Yeah, it's a beautiful view, and I'm going to miss the view. And, like, St. James Town has its own unique beauty, and the unfortunate events that have been happening with the building, like, you know, the power going out, I hope they are fixed in the future permanently. And if they're not, and if the actual plans are just to renovate and build newer condos like Yonge and Bloor, then it should be communicated with the residents.
So 650, there was a fire last year, and then all those people moved into a building this year, and then they had to move out again because there was a water pipe burst.
Yeah.
So how did that affect your relationship with your neighbors?
So actually, one of my best friends used to live in 650 Parliament, and I used to literally cross the street to go see her all the time. And when this happened, her family moved to 260 Wellesley Street East. And 650 is now completely empty, and all those residents lost their homes. And when 260 Wellesley Street East got shut down a couple of months ago, her family actually moved to North York around the Yonge and Finch area. So, I mean, now I cannot see my friend as much anymore, like my best friend. So it affected me that way. So a lot of people did lose their family and their friends.
And sorry, you said 650 is empty. Is it still empty? Is there nobody in there?
It is still empty. And they say that they're doing quote-unquote construction.
Right.
We've never seen any construction outside, so I'm not sure what's going on, but we have been told that they are trying to fix the electrical side of the building inside in the garage, and moving up from the bottom floor.
What's the sense from people living there about these renovations? Are people looking forward to them, or do they think that the owners and the landlords are just going to use them as an excuse to raise prices?
That's a really good question, because some people actually are happy that these renovations are happening, because it's just going to make the buildings much nicer, much better, and, you know, even increase the value of the building, right? Mm-hmm. But for some people, like, they do believe that, you know, it's against them, so...
Yeah.
They believe that, oh, they just want to kick us out, and, you know, they're not communicating the truth with us. So exactly what you said, you know, it's like both aspects are what people are thinking about this.
And so St. James Town is one of the few places in the downtown core that's still fairly affordable for people to rent apartments in. Was it difficult to find something comparable since you're moving out of the area soon?
Yes, because, of course, you know, rent keeps increasing in Toronto, no matter where you go. As an example, like, the penthouses at 280 Wellesley Street East 10 years ago offered the rent of $1,200 to $1,300.
For a penthouse?
Yeah. That's for insane. It's for a two-bedroom penthouse. So
I've paid more for a one-bedroom basement.
Yeah.
Yes. So, like, those prices still remain valid for the residents who still live there and never moved out. So that's why, despite the problems and the power going off, people are sticking to their homes.
I don't just blame because them.
Yeah, they don't want to lose their cheap rent, you know. So
and there actually is one scary thing about St. Jamestown that I noticed when I visited it, and this is something I do have to ask you about, Zeba. How do you ride that rickety, shaky elevator every day? I was in there, I white-knuckled grip on the side.
Yeah, it that was a very funny event with you, and I just don't think about it because I feel like if I focus on it, like, I will get a panic attack.
Because it gets quite shaky towards the top. Yeah,
yeah, like it's a shaky elevator to say the least. But I usually just hold on to the, you know, the railing and pray for my dear life.
Well loved, we can say.
Yes.
Well loved elevators.
I guess it does beat, you know, walking up the stairs though.
Oh yes.
33 floors.
I'll risk my life.
All right. Well, again, thank you, Zeba Khan, for joining us on Pocket Talk.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Zeba.
Thank you for tuning in to Know Where You Stand. Want us to come check out your neighborhood?
Then send us an email at kwystopodcast@gmail.com. Or feel free to follow us on Twitter at Isabel Terrell or Not That Kavanaugh.
Thanks again for listening.
Sam and Isabel out.